I soon found out there was a philosophy behind Marxism, and that's it, it's Hegelianism. And I happened to be in Detroit. Over the weekend, I was in Washington. Then, Lord willing, tomorrow I'll still in Detroit. Friday, I'm supposed to go to South Dakota. But wherever I go, and Detroit is as good an example as any. All kinds, what shall I call them, divergences, conflicts in the newspapers. And the more conflict, the better. The modern media of communication are based on Hegelian philosophy. Period. Why don't you dare close the book? And all progress comes from the conflict between opposites. That's why feminism is in existence. You read Marx and Lenin, as I've told people, and you've got everything that feminists have, everything. In many cases, especially among the intelligent feminists, the very words of Marx and Lenin. Conflict between the rich and the poor, capital and labor, and of course, between men and women. Then, to go on, a philosophy like pragmatism holds that only expediency, only the expedient is true. If it works, it's true. Truth depends on something being workable. I happened to be in the same city where I took my last course in engineering. When I was informed after my course, my superiors, I was to leave engineering and go into theology. Oh, the joy. And by then, nuclear fission had been discovered. And soon after, Japan was bombed by the United States. Just because it works must be good. I was in Louisville for 3 days earlier this month and just happened to see the front page of the daily paper, and there featured of a 16-year-old boy misbehaving, not studying, so his parents deprived him of certain privileges which he enjoyed. He decided one night to get up real early in the morning with a loaded gun, killed his mother, his father, his brother, and his sister. And then, after committing that multiple murder, and went to the school and boasted to everybody what he had just done. It worked. Oh, how much we have to learn. How much we have to learn. Clearly, and these are just two out of a score of major erroneous philosophies that are an open contradiction to Scholasticism, which holds that opposites are God's way of fostering unity and charity. That's why there are opposites. If he were not different from us, well, so what we do, I would not be practicing the kind of charity that is obviously needed in a world like ours. And that truth is not determined by expediency, but by its conformity of the mind with reality. I can have the maddest ideas in my mind, and those ideas may work. Does that make those ideas true? No. How are we doing time wise?
8:15.
So far, philosophy in general. Now, a subsection on scholastic philosophy. I should add, by the way, I prayed over this, should I do it or not? Because let me tell you, when you write a manuscript, you don't just put a few thoughts together. You've got to think. There's nothing more humiliating, nothing that I know of on earth, than reading what you have written. You say to yourself, what idiot put this together? There's nobody else to blame except yourself. But I thought and prayed, and every word here was written before the Blessed Sacrament. I become more than ever convinced that what people like yourselves need is the means in your mind for grasping your faith on the three basic levels that be identified. The meaning, the purpose, and the how. What we believe is to be lived. So now then, scholastic philosophy. Each of these subsections, by the way, will have a short introductory paragraph followed by questions following in numerical sequence the previous one. The name scholastic philosophy may be misleading. Behind the name is more than an arbitrary choice of labels. Why call it scholastic philosophy? Scholastic philosophy is called, quotes, scholastic precisely because for centuries it has been the accepted educational discipline of literally millions of Christian believers. No other philosophy could be scholastic. Am I making sense? You might get away with it in teaching a class or two, especially when it's required for graduation. But century after century, and millions have studied and learned scholastic philosophy. Their training in the universities of Europe, except for scholastic philosophy and its offspring, scholastic theology, there'll be no universities in the world today. Let me repeat. Except for scholastic philosophy and its offspring, scholastic theology, there be no universities in the world today. I'm no prophet, but I can read history. The days of our modern universities is coming to a close. And I have that judgment confirmed by a friend of mine at the University of Ottawa, where I was teaching 5 winters on a visiting professorship. While the then head of the Department of International Education, not an American, but spoke English, he said, well, before the middle of the 21st century, most universities in the Western world will disappear. They won't be needed. And it's not only because they won't be needed, since the media of communication, in other words, communication already has, some of you know better than I, is becoming less and less. Well, the printed word, or less and less, say, a classroom situation. As this man told me, the hunger for human knowledge is just too great, and the number of really intelligent people in the world is too small. If somebody's going to teach people, they will have to use the modern media of communication, which are not, well, a means that, say, serve their purpose with the discovery of movable type in the late 15th century. We may then say that scholastic philosophy is a tribute to the unity of mind of the millions who professed to believe in the one, my manuscript underlines the word one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. There can be only one scholastic philosophy. I repeat, that is not just another name. It means that for centuries, whole nations have been nourished on the truth which united them and enabled them to grow in their grasp of the truth they believed by learning what they believe means, why what they believe, why God has revealed so much to them. And let me tell you, every shred of knowledge we learn carries with it a heavy responsibility. Never seek to learn anything that you do not intend to put to use. How are we doing time-wise?
8:22.
Really, one more question, and then we'll have benediction following by Mass. Question 7. What then is scholastic philosophy? Scholastic philosophy is the philosophy cultivated by the early fathers of the church, especially St. Augustine, dates 354 to 430 A.D. is a philosophy cultivated by the early fathers of the church, especially St. Augustine, 354 to 430, and reaching its full development by the end of the 13th century. Its most complete synthesis is found in St. Thomas Aquinas, dates 1225 to 1274. So his most complete synthesis, or better, it is a philosophy cultivated by the early fathers of the church, especially St. Augustine, and reaching its full development by the end of the 13th century, its most complete synthesis is found in St. Thomas Aquinas, 1225 to 1274. Let me tell you, it was the fathers of the church that provided the church with the understanding of our faith. That's what the fathers of the church did. They didn't just repeat. They penetrated, analyzed, they asked questions. And the great, shall we call them, renovator of scholastic philosophy in the last century was Pope Leo XIII. In the present century was Pope Pius XI. And I can tell you, scholastic philosophy is the philosophy behind all rational understanding of what we believe. And with that, I think we'll take our break, and then if somebody will make a photocopy, you are welcome, and then distribute among the participants.